You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the creators of Wagertainment.
We bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you bets. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
Yes, indeed it is You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network on draft day, where every game is Game 7. No hot take BS on this show. We bring you the bets. We bring you the sports. As we come to you live from the Odyssey app, simulcast by our friends at Stadium from 4 to 6 Eastern, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, Twitch.tv/BetQL, and heard on radio stations nationwide, including our pals on satellite radio, Sirius 160, and XM 205, as Ken and I bring you the Wagertainment, talking all things sports betting on draft day. The show presented proudly today and always by the king of sportsbooks, the great people at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and visit BetMGM.com. And you can do so on a T3. Three words that all start with the letter T. It is a tremendous football Thursday, April 25th in the year of our Lord, 2024, better known to you and yours as draft day. The show on Twitter at You Better You Bet. I'm on Twitter and the gram at the Kostos. Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper. He's on X at Lockie Lockerson. And on this tremendous football Thursday, aka draft day, we will bring you four phenomenal guests. You know, the Washington Commanders are on the clock at second overall. You know who we're gonna have on to talk about all of it? The guy that was coaching them 4 months ago. Riverboat Ron. Ron Rivera will join us coming up later this hour to talk Jaden Daniels, to talk the Washington Commanders, to talk J.J. McCarthy and Drake May and Caleb Williams and all things NFL draft. Ron Rivera joins us coming up later this hour on draft day. We'll also get you set for the NBA playoffs tonight and moving forward with Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run. We will get you set for the NHL playoffs tonight and moving forward with Pete Blackburn of the What Chaos, very popular What Chaos hockey show on YouTube and Twitch. Pete Blackburn joins us later in the program. And Connor Allen from 4for4 and BetSports will join us for last-minute NFL draft bets on, you guessed it, draft day. Plus, oh, baby. Oh, man, tons of great NFL betting content on draft day, including my final mock top 10. We will do that over the course of the show, bring you all the latest updates, all the latest information. Right before we went on the air, Diana Rossini of The Athletic reporting the Rams trying to trade into the top 10. Markets are moving, information is flying, and we are here to distill and break it down for you, our listeners and viewers, on draft day. Also, we'll give you some badass betting breakdown from the night that was in the National Hockey League and NBA playoffs, including how I will square up with and fight Bruins head coach Jim Montgomery if he starts Linus Ullmark in Game 4 in Toronto. And we will talk about how the Boston Celtics are so Charmin soft. Ken Barkley might just be ahead of the curve that the Knicks gonna bounce that ass in the Eastern Conference Final. Power Hour, Final Hour, not only our bets for tonight, but our bets for the NFL Draft on Draft Day. We're locked and loaded here on a tremendous Football Thursday, a.k.a. Draft Day. Ken Barkley, how's it going? Happy Draft Day to you and yours.
That's the most time saying Draft Day, I think, in a three-hour period. I don't even think in the movie Draft Day they said Draft Day that much. We've done the show in this time slot for several years now, and even when it wasn't in this, it was close to this time slot for a while. We were only on at night for 1 year, right? Did I make that up? For 2 years or 1 year? It was the first year, right? We were on at night, I think, from 6 to 10.
But 6 to 10 ended when, like, the world ended for a little bit. Yeah. I think that was the last 6
in
to 10
19,
show.
Yeah. It was 6 to 10. What I was going to say is we've done a few draft shows in this time slot. It's one of my favorite shows that we do the entire year.
It's the fourth,
not even
right?
Fourth one? Yes. Yes, definitely. 21, 22, 23, 24 that we've been in this time slot. It's one of my favorite shows because we, you know, Nick and I talk about this on the air sometimes too. We really like doing it live. F it. We'll do it live. We like the idea of a live show. We like the idea of breaking news and things changing and reacting to it in real time. Like, yes, this show becomes a podcast, but also I think we enjoy much more like being on from 3 to 7 when stuff's going on from 3 to 7, being on Sunday morning on NFL Sundays right before the games when stuff's happening. I kind of think it's when we're at our best because we love this stuff. And this is the show for us then, because if you followed last year's show, it was very quiet for a very long time. I was trying to think of a comparison. Like, I used to play poker a lot when I was in my early 20s, like everybody, when it was a big deal. And there was always like a saying about no limit hold'em, which is that it was like hours of boredom and then minutes of sheer terror when you like get like a hand that's actually like very promising and like going to play a big pot, but you might fold for an hour to get that. That's kind of like what this was last year. Hours of boredom and then just like, oh my God, CJ Stroud's going to go second. The market's going crazy. And we don't know how this year's going to go. It could go totally differently. The second overall pick market looks nothing like how it looked at this time last year. I saw some people trying to draw some comparisons. There aren't any, in my opinion. This is just a new thing. It's a new, you know, like set of markets, and we have to treat it that way. And I don't know how this is going to go. And that's like the coolest part. Like, it's you think of like, oh, it's anxiety inducing. Yeah, and like the coolest way, like in an hour, is the third overall pick market going to look like this? In 3 hours, is the third overall pick market going to look like this? Maybe, because maybe that's how long it takes the Patriots to trade. But it's just, I love the draft show. We'll talk about NBA and other stuff too, but it's just cool to be on while stuff is changing.
Very quickly, just on the poker analogy that you made, it's why like I really like playing poker. Poker's fun, even if I feel like you're not like a big sports bettor. Like poker's fun when you play. Yeah, you don't have to play
friends.
like super competitively. Yeah. Like, yeah, play with your friends for a couple bucks, have a couple beers, whatever. That's my problem though, is like it reaches a point where you fold for a while and I'm just like, you know what, all in.
I'm all in. Mostly because you want to be all out.
Right? Well, it's like, because it's like, hey, like I would like a rush. I've just been sitting on my ass for an hour now. And just here's a 2-7 off suit, all in, just for the rush of it, and yeah, just see what happens. So that's the last poker reference we'll get on the show today. So where are you at right now, would you say, Ken, with your level of confidence in anything related to the NFL draft outside of Caleb Williams as the first overall pick, which is obviously how we left off yesterday. The only thing we feel confident in is that Caleb Williams is going first overall. Anything else that you like right now as we survey the old betting markets?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the idea that because of the number of trades that we could see and the number of teams that are interested in trading, and it's not that we have to get a lot of trades, but just that we have a lot of teams calling, and we know that there are a lot of teams calling, and there are a lot of teams calling to move up to spots that are pretty high up. Dude, we're not talking about, oh, well, at 13, like the Eagles might trade up. It's like, no, like 3, 4, 5, every pick after that, basically.
All of them,
And because basically all of them, and with like 5 different teams involved, to me that creates a situation where I think the craziest part is, let's say that you like knew with absolute certainty which quarterback the Patriots liked the most. You knew it for a fact that they liked Drake May, or you knew it for a fact that they liked J.J. McCarthy. You still couldn't bet anything because there's like a 50% chance that they stay and take that guy, and a 50% chance that like somebody in the war room with power says we're trading down and we're going to try to get that guy anyway. And like, they don't know what they're doing, and they're not going to know until Jaden Daniels goes second, because that's when the calls come in. So it's like, it's, think about that. Like, I think everyone thinks there's someone out there with the answer, and that person's waiting to bet. And it's like, no, like at three, there is no answer, because it depends on what the phone call is like that they get after Jaden Daniels goes. Sometimes that phone's going to ring and it's like, hey, it's the Giants calling for the millionth time. How about now? And like, sometimes it's the Vikings, and sometimes it's, you know, hey, somebody,
Elliot,
else that
it's
we
me.
Don't know about.
It's right. Me, Joe, again.
It's Joe Shane.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah. Oh, it's me.
After all this time, and, I'd like to move
to three. I hope
your
trade in three.
Yeah. So that's the funniest part. I think there's this understanding where it's like, oh, it's draft betting. Like, who's got the info? Be like, even if there was somebody who knew with absolute certainty who was at the top of the Patriots draft board, the idea that there's a pretty high percentage chance they're going to trade that pick means you can't even act on that info. Like, what would you bet? Like, it's like, oh, I think they like that player, but they can still trade. You're gonna, even if you thought it was McCarthy, which I know a lot of people do, you still can't even bet it that confidently, because they might just trade. And then Drake May is the pick if they trade, because it's probably the Giants. So, like, that's the funny part about this. And I'll be honest, like, we might get clarity on a bunch of stuff between now and 7 o'clock. We also have to understand that, like, the draft might basically begin after Jaden Daniels gets picked second, and we're off the air, and every market is closed, and that's when the phone calls start. And or that's when the phone calls continue, and that's when the Patriots actually make their decision. They don't have to make their decision before you can, like, before you stop betting, before the market's closed. They don't have to decide then. So it just, it's going to be really interesting with that market specifically, because then obviously there's a trickle-down effect to everything. If it's McCarthy, if it's May, then what's the fourth pick? What's the fifth pick? Like, all of these are directly impacted. So I am curious to see. This is different than last year. I know the Cardinals traded number three last year. This is a little different than that, and curious to see how it goes.
You've said a couple times over the course of like this opening segment, and I think like I know what the answer to this question is going to be, but I want to ask it, that like the draft starts after the Commanders pick Jaden Daniels second overall. Daniels is a massive favorite to be the second pick, but he is not in like the Caleb Williams tier of like, right, like virtual certainty. Also not in the tier of like what Zach Wilson was a number of years ago in 21, actually, when Zach Wilson, we knew like a week in advance that Wilson was going to be the second overall pick of the Jets. What would, sure, you describe as like level of confidence via the betting market that Jaden Daniels is going second overall?
90% to 95%, something
like that. Almost all the way there.
And I saw, I don't, to put it this way, I don't think it's like known and has like really gotten out that like it's locked in and it's him. So there is maybe a still an element of unknown and guessing going on. But just to be clear, because I saw, I think a bunch of people ran with this morning, that like, well, this is like, this could still be like Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and like look at what happened with that. For people who don't remember that, everyone thought the Niners were going to pick Mac Jones third a few years ago. Then it turned out that they picked Trey Lance. The comparison I would make is the timeline of how that worked in no way resembles the timeline of how this worked. Like, Daniels is -1,000. We bet Trey Lance 5 minutes before the draft. We bet him the morning of the draft. The betting on Trey Lance to go third actually started in the middle of the night before the draft, because everyone woke up and said, what the hell happened to these markets where like Trey Lance is now like,
what,
you know,
did Billy
in the
Joel
mix,
say about it?
In the, what would he say about it?
In the middle of the night,
oh, got it. Yep.
Firing in these Trey Lance bets.
Perfect, perfect. And like, it, you woke up in the morning and it was just, it was the two of them, and you could bet either one at a pretty reasonable price. And then all day was just like more rumor and more rumor and more rumor. I mean, if we got to 3 o'clock that day, it would have been very live that Trey Lance was going third. This market in no way resembles that. All that's happened is Jaden Daniels has gotten bet more. That's all that's happened. So just like, to me, there is not a comparison. The only thing the two markets share is that there is not someone who's -50,000 in the market in both situations. In one, it was Trey Lance and Mac Jones, and you could kind of take your pick. In the other, it's Jaden Daniels -1,000, but not like unbettable off the board. So they share that attribute, but that's it. So like, it's not, I think everyone's like, well, it can still get really crazy. I mean, like, yeah, it could. I don't know why I'd bet crazy at two. Like, why would I bet crazy? Like, what reason do I have? Well, it's not decided yet. Okay. But like, I need something else because then I don't know who to, then tell me who to bet. Everyone else. That's what I'm betting. Daniel's not two off. What off? Just like it could be different. There's no, like, there's no smoke on anything. And that doesn't mean I'm going to bet Daniels, but I just, like, the second overall pick market seems like a, just a bad idea to me. It seems like something where I think Daniels is really likely to go. So does everybody else. I have no reason to believe something else. And so I'm going to move on to the next thing.
And just to reiterate something that Ken said earlier in the segment and a conversation that Ken and I were having, and like I've been having with other people, I'm sure Ken's been having with other people also today. Okay. So like, let's play it out, right? Let's just say that the Patriots are either going to take McCarthy or trade down, which is like one of like the rumored things that's out there, right? Like that's what New England wants to do. Okay. What do you bet?
What's
like,
the bet?
What are you supposed to, what do you do? Like, you could bet a bunch of, is exactas the way to go? Like, I just play out a bunch of different scenarios?
Played some.
Like, what do you even do with that?
I talked to somebody today who was like, hey, I heard McCarthy's going third. Like, I'm going to bet that. And I go, well, okay, but like, then who do you think is going? I go, well, who do you think's going fourth then? And they go, well, I guess somebody would trade up for Drake May then. And I go, well, okay, what's the exacta that you can find for the essentially the four quarterbacks with with J.J. McCarthy going third, like provoking Drake. Of course I do. For it's from yesterday.
So
provoking Drake May to go fourth. And like yesterday, this was like 13, 17. You just a way to parlay the four picks to get a different price that's different than playing the exacta. I go like, so if you're going to bet McCarthy and you think like that provokes someone to trade for Drake May, you bet that. If you want to bet McCarthy and you think the Cardinals actually like neighbors more than Harrison, then you can bet that. That was 175-1 yesterday. McCarthy 3, neighbors 4. If you think Harrison's the guy, and like a lot of people think like that's what's going to happen. Kyler and Harrison, like that'll be the new pairing. Like there was a way to bet that. That was, I don't know, like 450 last night and this morning in a couple places. And it's different everywhere. So it's just like there's always a different way to play the thing that's going to happen other than the straight like I'm going to bet McCarthy to go third. Like McCarthy to go third opens up a lot of other possibilities that pay even better than McCarthy to go third.
Unless the Patriots just take Drake May third overall. And then it's like, sure. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's consensus time. And here's Marvin Harrison, and here's, you know, J.C. Latham, and here's Malik Nabers, and here's Joe Alt.
Well, I don't think it's consensus time. If that's the consensus, I don't think it's consensus time.
I would like for it to not be consensus, some of the long shot bets that we have. A ton of NFL draft coming up over the course of the show, but coming up next, we will touch on whatever the hell that was the Boston Celtics did last night against the Miami Heat.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Back to White, looking inside. Jovic, what a play! Nikola Jovic bounce pass to Martin. Martin scores! And the Miami Heat up 10, TD Garden.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Courtesy of the call goes to Brian Anderson, Turner Sports last night. I'm looking at BetMGM right now. Is the best bet of the year Caleb Martin over 9.5 points in game 3 of the Heat Celtics series?
Maybe over 9.5 threes. What's that pay?
Like, are we there again? Like, I'm not insinuating the Heat are going to win this series, but are we there again with Caleb Martin being a thing in the playoffs? I'll definitely bet that in game 3 of Heat Celtics, but we're not here to talk about game 3. Not yet, at least. Let's talk about game 2 with the Heat and the Celtics and the rest of what we saw last night in the NBA and NHL playoffs before we get back to the NFL draft in 20 minutes when Ron Rivera, former NFL head coach, joins us. Heat kind of like punk Boston on the road in game 2, beat them by 10, 111-101. They do hit a billion threes in order to win the game, but how many times did we say last year in the NBA playoffs, how long can this go on for? With the Heat just making a zillion threes every game, the answer was the NBA
games.
Finals. Yes, it was a long ass time for the Miami Heat. So the Heat beat the Celtics last night, and I think the thing that I took away from the game, Ken, I'm sure you agree, because how could you not, was how like the Celtics and the announcers were openly talking about it, and Tatum losing composure at the end of the game. They look soft to me. Doesn't mean they can't blow the Heat out in the next three games, but that's a bit of an alarming performance if you like Boston to win the NBA championship. Just my opinion. So we can get to like Oklahoma City blowing out the Pelicans last night, 2-0 series lead, some of the results in the NHL. But Ken, let's start with the Celtics and the Heat.
Yeah, I just think it's worth asking the question, you know, are the Celtics one of those teams? And they exist in a lot of sports. Are they one of those teams that's just way better in the regular season than they are in the postseason for a variety of reasons? Mm-hmm. You know, even in NBA terms, the Rudy Gobert Jazz teams were always a team that won a ton of regular season games, but in a playoff series underperformed, I think, versus what we expected, never really made that deep run. And you could be like, well, they ran into some really good teams. Well, if you use the regular season numbers, we thought they were one of those really good teams. We didn't think they were the Warriors, but like, you get the idea. They didn't play quite kind of how it looked in the regular season, and the regular season numbers made them look amazing. A lot of James Harden's regular season teams perform like this, where win a ton of regular season games. Obviously, the Rockets teams will be the best example of this. And it's like, well, but like they ran into the Warriors. And be like, well, this is kind of the point, is like, cool, like nice net rating. Also, when you play the Warriors, I'm going to take the Warriors, despite what the analytics are, despite what the regular season analytics are. It's not that the Celtics have to be one of those teams. They made the finals 2 years ago. They made the conference finals last year. But like, this is Joe Mazzulla's second year as head coach. In the playoffs, he is 12-10 as a head coach. And I'm pretty sure he's been favored in almost all 22. So like, you tell me. You know, like, you tell me what you think that is. And if it's like enough games for you to be like, man, maybe this is kind of a thing where in the regular season, playing the same style and, drive and kick for a ton of three pointers and this like balance and depth and defense and like all the scheming, like maybe this is something that works night to night. You get in a playoff series against a lot of different teams and you could be like, well, maybe it's just Miami. And they went to 7 against Philadelphia. They had to win game 6 to get there. Remember they blew that game to Atlanta that everybody was like, how did that even happen? Like, was that game 4? Something like that. It was like a really weird, it's just been bizarre the whole time. And last night's another example. So like, you know, I think just it's easy to wave away last night and be like, variance, Heat made a ton of threes. That's just the way it goes. Well, for what it's worth, about 90% of their attempts were wide open, as measured by NBA, like, you know, shot tracking. So like, that's not great. I'd expect a team to hit a lot of wide open three pointers if you give them wide open three pointers. And then it's this like lack of home court advantage in the playoffs. And they had a ton of stats about that on the telecast last night. Mazzulla's barely over 500. He has been given, again, a team with like the best rating of the last 2 years, the 12-10. I think it's okay to be, and it's like, you can't just wave away this stuff. I mean, we've been doing this forever, but just like, it doesn't mean they can't win the title. Just like, if they get to the finals and they play Denver, they can win, but would you bet on it? And they'll definitely be favored by some amount. We don't really know what it is, and maybe they won't, but they probably will. Okay, like, realistically, just based on what you've seen and kind of everything you know so far about how all both teams work, who would you like in the series? I'd like to bet against the Gobert Jazz teams, and I'd like to bet against the James Harden Rockets, and I'd like to bet against the Celtics team when they play a historically great team, which I think they're about to do.
Yeah, I don't even think there's a question about it. And I think, you know, the logical follow-up now is, because it's something you brought up a couple days ago on the show, which is, assuming that we get there and there is no lock that this is going to happen, the Knicks might not get out of this series against Philadelphia. 5.5-point dogs on the road tonight in Philly in Game 3. Knicks-Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final. Like you said a couple days ago, you could see a scenario where the Knicks win that series. I think what happened last night, like, say the Celtics are better than the Knicks. The Knicks are... Is this fair to say what I'm about to say? Like, the Knicks are tougher than the Celtics.
Well, I think the Knicks are tougher than, like, every team, honestly. I think that's, like, their thing, right?
Maybe not like Denver, but like,
the Celtics are much more talented.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
right. And tougher is like a weird word, because it's like, I mean, the Celtics do have like great two-way players on their team. Like, it's like, are you saying like Jrue Holiday's not tough? Like, Derek White's not tough? Like, these are great, like, first team all defense, gritty players. But I understand what you mean. And it's like, it's okay to think that in close games, this team's not going to play great. And as the series goes on, they're going to dump a couple games that they shouldn't. And that the coach might be questionable in a lot of ways. It's okay to wonder all of these things. And if you're like, yeah, I agree. Okay, but that's just, there's a lot of like Celtics apologists going on right now, like on social media and after the game. And it's like easy to just be like, well, they made a lot of threes. Great. Like the finals, I don't even want to say anything else. The finals, I don't hope they play in the finals, because I think the Nuggets would smash everybody else. But if they play in the finals, we'll have a price. We'll all bet and we'll find out. And I might be wrong. Like, this is not some guarantee. I saw, like, Kevin O'Connor, he's right for the Raiders. Like, he's like, they would sweep the Celtics. Be like, I'm not making such a bold proclamation. I hope they sweep the Celtics if they play. But I wouldn't make such a bold proclamation. The Celtics can definitely win that series. I'll be betting Denver. I have Denver forever for crazy amounts at big prices, bigger than what we'll have in the finals. If they play in the finals, I'm going to bet Denver again. And just like, and we'll see what happens. And I can be wrong, but like, I don't know how you consume this and analyze it and come to another conclusion.
So, okay, so that's like kind of like long-term with the Boston Celtics. Let's spend a minute talking about this series now.
Sure.
The difference, obviously, between last year and this, a couple differences, right? Like, Miami won the first two games in Boston last year, went up 3-0, then Boston won 3, Miami wins game 7, Tatum gets hurt, whatever. So, not the same series. Also, like, Jimmy Butler's not playing. Like, Miami's best player is injured and is not playing. We look at the point spread for the next game, and Boston's a 9.5-point road favorite. And it's really interesting, right? Because Eric... Normally coaches, and Spoelstra's savvy enough that it's not the key, it will never say anything in a way that like takes a shot at the other team. He's been doing this for too long. But his whole thing is, yeah, like, okay, you're gonna give us all these three pointers. Okay, like we'll take a million threes. Like we're not gonna let you do what you did to us in game one. And game one, the Celtics made like 20+ threes and Miami made 12. Last night Miami took a billion threes and they made 23 of them, like a franchise record.
We didn't wave away the Celtics. By the way, when they made a lot of threes, we didn't say like, well, variance, they won't make as many threes. No, like that. No, they get all the excuses. It's cool. Like it's good. No, they're just supposed to make 25 threes a game. That's like how it's supposed to work. But then when Miami does it, it's like variance. Nah, like not good enough. Why do we do this? If you love Boston, it's okay to admit that they're flawed. I think Denver's flawed. I just think they're going to win. Like, that's okay. But I admit that I think they have flaws. It's okay. Like, everybody doesn't have to get so defensive about this. Like, I think the Celtics are a really good team. You can't watch this stuff and not just be like, like, what's going on? Like, favorite in 22 games and you're 12-10 and you lose all the time as a big favorite to Atlanta, Philly, you know, this year, Miami, last year, Miami. Like, it's okay. It's okay to just be like, something's up. It's okay.
And also... Like, everyone that's saying that, it happened last year with these two teams. Like, the same teams it happened. All right, so we get to game three. Boston's a 9.5-point favorite. Talk me out of betting the Heat.
I can't. Why would I talk you out of it?
Do you want to bet Miami?
Kind of.
Oh, I'm dying to. I would move heaven and hell to do it, to bet the Miami Heat.
And people be like, well, you have to respect the market. And look, if you really had a strong opinion, you could bet a really very big amount of money into this market. This isn't, the market's wrong. But you look like you're not going to see game-to-game fluctuation. Look at last year's series is actually a perfect example of this. You're
going to
see the same number. You're going to see the same number. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just, this is what it's going to be, and then you have to make that decision. But this isn't like, it's like, oh, the number's wrong, or it's supposed to be different. No, like... We know what the markets are going to be for this game. Like, we kind of know. It's going to be more than double digits when we're in Boston, and it's going to be like this unless we're in a 3-0 sweep kind of that kind of a series, which we're already not in. That's what we're going to get. And if we get, as the series goes on, the total will get a little lower, and in game 7, it'll be brutally low. Like, this is how this stuff goes. That's okay. So now what do you want to do? This is not an overreaction of a betting market. It's like a really stable market. It's basically like, well, what were game 1 and game 2? We're going to change home court. Whatever, like, this is what it is. Come bet into us. And you know, I if you want to bet Miami, I wouldn't blame you. I would not bet Boston in the game. I'm curious to just, I think, look, any logical person would say, like, I think the Celtics are going to get out of this series. I think that's like a very logical thing to think, just because it's a huge favorite. Talent discrepancy with no Butler. And the Heat can outperform expectation wildly in this series, and that can mean winning a couple games. Would wildly outperform expectation if they won a couple games in the series. They've already won one, so they've already overachieved versus what was expected. And maybe that's what overachieving looks like this year, whereas last year with Butler, overachieving looks like you could actually win the way that you're playing. Maybe that's not in the cards for them, but look, like, the idea of just seeing this over and over and over again, and then like running to bet Boston, like I'm good on Boston in the whole series. It's not bet or bet Miami, and then like we'll see in the next round how it plays out. Probably play Cleveland. Maybe that's a series where you do want to play Boston versus playing Miami, because Miami seems to kind of have them figured out.
I agree
Cleveland,
with that.
Yeah, you have the 30-point blown lead or whatever in the Cleveland regular season matchup. Also, they were like up 30, which is a pretty bad sign. Like, just Bickerstaff, Spolstra. Yeah, maybe that's the strategy, is this one goes a while and the next one doesn't. And then we'll see, like, is Giannis going to be okay? Do the Pacers get out of that series where you have Knicks Pacers on the other side? Knicks be a big favorite to advance out of that series. And then you do get Knicks Celtics, and we'll kind of see what happens.
Oh, baby. So Miami, game three, and I'm definitely betting Caleb Martin over 9.5 points because I feel like we're there. Like, we're back.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Mr. April. Mr. May, right?
Like, whatever, we're back.
Because he changed the months.
Like,
yeah.
Like, we're back. He scored 21 last night. He sucks. But against this team, he's good. So, like, here we go. Cool. It's Caleb Martin over 9.5 points for me in game number three. Nick and Ken, you better you bet here on a Thursday. We'll get back to the NFL draft in a couple minutes with former NFL head coach Ron Rivera. We could turn this into a Thunder Pelicans discussion. Anything from the NHL from last night, I'll toss in here now. Liked OKC in the game. I think the Thunder are going to sweep. And just one betting note that I have off of last night, Mark Daigneault was talking after the game about how game one was like a calibration for Oklahoma City, that they kind of felt their way through the game. And he made it sound like it was very specific and very purposeful by OKC to have played it like that, which kind of makes me want whoever they play in the next series, like, bet against Oklahoma City in game one. And we'll see what the price ends up being. But that's what that made me want to do, hearing that from Mark Daigneault. So, Ken, anything for you from Thunder Pels last night, or anything from you from last night in the National Hockey League in the time we have remaining in this segment?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Thunder Pelicans is the series I've talked the least about because I'm just not very interested. I don't know how long it's going to go, but I think
two more games.
Yeah, I think we think the Thunder are very likely to win. Even at the start of the series, like, the Thunder are going to win, but maybe it takes a while because of that lack of experience, because of that calibration, to use Daigneault's word. Like, maybe it just takes a while to kind of figure this thing out. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot interesting going on here. And maybe there's some kind of, like, nuance and subtlety within the games that I'm missing, prop-wise or anything else, that are maybe worth betting. This one just feels kind of dead to me as something that I'm interested in betting. I do think that now, with the Thunder very likely to advance, I do think you will see fascinating betting markets whoever they play in the second round, whether it's Clippers, which would mean Kawhi is probably pretty healthy or to get out of the Maverick series, or Dallas. And I think there will be a lot of betting interest in that team against the Thunder. Even with the Thunder having home court, that's a betting market I almost can't wait for. And I don't know what I would bet. I need to know the price, but I'm already almost kind of looking ahead to that as opposed to anything going on in this series.
So let's do this. We don't have a price yet. OKC versus Dallas, straight up, who wins the series?
I don't know. Super even, you know? I will say the key to that series is every time Luka and SGA have played each other historically, Luka has absolutely dominated him and, like, relished it and, like, owned it. And I mean, if that happens in that series, that's game over. So just obviously, like, star outplays star. That's going to be pretty important, even if you like some of OKC's ancillary players. But that's, like, a huge part of that series is going to be their numbers against each other. Luka has had some monster performances against Shea.
5 seconds. In the SGA Bowl, Thunder versus Clippers, who do you got?
I'd like the Clippers, like, a good amount.
Okay. We'll get back to this a little later in the show. But you might have heard, it's draft day. And coming up on the other side, former Washington Commanders head coach, the great Ron Rivera, joins Nick and Ken here on You Better You Bet on draft day.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.
Third down and three at the 35-yard line. Quarterback draw. Again. He's looking for the end zone. Touchdown.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL network.
Bob with the call this past college football season. Bob Dat Chusen with the call this past college football season.
Played
that highlight.
Yeah, you know, hockey. But last night, two nights ago, yeah, flying all over the country. I feel like
so it's him and former Ranger like Brian Callahan. Like that's the Wachusen. I think they're like
good
together.
Dallas, Vegas. I think did they do that last night?
I thought they were very good.
Yeah, that series has been like the scores. It's kind of like, oh, Vegas has dominated them. Two really fun games. Really, really fun games. Also fun because I have Panthers over Vegas Golden Knights. This is my Stanley Cup exacta. So let's get that one home.
We might be entering a stretch where I might want to bet the Knights in every game for like a long time. If like, especially if like Logan Thompson's like getting hot here, which I think like might be the case. We'll do this coming up later in the show. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy this past season for LSU and now could be the second overall pick in tonight's NFL draft. And joining us right now to break it down and talk all things NFL draft, I think we can say like newly minted friend of the show, had him on the show a couple times. One of the nicest guys out there, did an amazing job earlier this offseason doing some analyst work for our friends over at ESPN. Former NFL head coach, the great Ron Rivera, who can be followed on Twitter at Riverboat Ron HC. Coach, it's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. We sincerely appreciate the time. Happy draft day to you and yours. How's it going?
It's going well, guys. It really is. You know, it's kind of interesting to have a little time to look at it from a different perspective. So it's been fun trying to keep up as to what's going on in the league.
And Coach, you know, we really loved having you on the show last time, and I think one of the memorable questions and answers for us in your last appearance, and this was a while ago, right? This was before this whole draft cycle kind of started, was we asked you, yeah, like, what do you think the Commanders are going to do with the second overall pick? And you replied, and I'll say just pretty confidently, not that it was 100%, but you go, I think they're going to take Jaden Daniels. I think that's going to happen. The betting market has now followed suit. It's the day of the draft. How confident are you still that you think the Commanders' second overall pick tonight are going to take Jaden Daniels?
I'm still pretty confident. I am. I mean, from every indication you see, it's, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's style of offense. And I think that you know, if you look at the quarterbacks that are there, you know, I think Caleb Williams fits the bill very well. I think Jaden Daniels fits that bill very well. Now, if for whatever reason Cliff Kingsbury is going to change his style of offense, then it's going to be Drake May. I mean, if he's going to be more of a prolific style passing game, then you could, to me, you could honestly see Drake May as that guy. So it's going to be interesting because, you know, nobody really quite knows yet. And that's the beauty of the draft is whatever happens in front of you is going to impact what you do next. So that's the interesting portion.
Would you be comfortable, Coach? And like, no one will hold you to whatever you say. Just like curious, obviously, because you're who you are, right? And your whatever you say holds a lot of weight. What would you say, like, your level of confidence is that the Commanders will select Jaden Daniels? With the, and this is not like you have to make an exact. That's not what this is. I'm just curious what you're thinking. Like, what level of confidence would you say you have that Jaden Daniels is the second pick tonight?
Well, you know, I'm very confident. I mean, you know, I. Just looking at what I saw of Cliff Kingsbury's offense, I mean, you know, an athletic quarterback who can make all the throws, you know, a guy that can make quick decisions and then can extend the play with his feet and then gain positive yardage if he has to run. I you know, that's what we saw when he was in Arizona. I can see that happening in Washington.
Coach, you're obviously coach a bunch of different teams, coach for a long time. I'm sure you found yourself and your team in the same situation that the Patriots are in tonight, where you hold a first round pick. And I'm sure there are some voices in the room that say, we want to take this player. Maybe it was even a quarterback when you were at one of your two teams. And I'm sure there are some voices that are like, hey, we're getting some pretty good offers. Should we trade down? That seems like the crux of what the Patriots are facing with the third overall pick. Do we stay and take a quarterback? Do we like any of these guys? Or do we take maybe a big kind of king's ransom to move down, maybe get a quarterback anyway? Just kind of put us in that draft room with the Patriots, kind of with your experience. And what's your best guess about what you think they will do tonight?
Well, I'll say this. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on Jacoby Brissett, who they picked up in free agency. And I really do like Jacoby an awful lot. I think if they're looking at, you know, we got a guy that we can keep around for 3 or 4 years in Jacoby, and who knows if that's what they're thinking. If they are, then what they do is you do trade back. Why? Because you're going to get a plethora of picks. You may be able to get a player that's established, you know, from whoever's offering. And so you could, you know, refortify your roster very quickly. I mean, that's a possibility. But I'll say this, too. I like the first three quarterbacks that everybody talks about as far as Caleb, Jaden, and Drake. And then you throw Marvin Harrison into the mix and you're sitting there going, wow, I mean, how can you pass up one of those four guys? And quite honestly, there's a group of guys that are coming in right behind him that are not, you know, slouches in either. I mean, You know, you got Rome Odunze, you've got Malik Nabers. I mean, these are guys that can impact you and can help your team. And then this is also a deep draft. That's why if they trade backwards, you know, they're going to be able to get a quality wide receiver. They're going to be able to get quality offensive lineman. And there's also, you know, there's also six quarterbacks that everybody talks about that potentially, you know, you still might be able to get a quality quarterback. So they've got to weigh all those options and see which one they think is going to impact them the most. I mean, but to me, quite honestly, the one thing that we know is that this is a quarterback's league. And if you get a chance to get a guy that could become your franchise guy for the next 10 to 12 years, you've got to think long and hard, make the best decision you believe is going to impact your team. Because you sit there and say, if Caleb Williams wasn't here, who would be the number one pick then? Would it be Jaden or would it be Drake? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what you're facing. I mean, you got legitimate guys that could be the number one pick, you know? But again, people say, well, if Caleb wasn't here, then more than likely Marvin Harrison would be the number one pick and it wouldn't be a quarterback. So you're back to square one again. I mean, that's the beauty of this draft this year is it is a deep draft at a couple of primary positions, quarterback being one of them, receiver being another one of them, offensive line, and then the edge rushers that are out there are all really good players. So this is going to be very interesting as far as the draft is concerned.
Former NFL head coach Ron Rivera here on You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, BetQL Network on draft day. Coach, conspicuous by his absence there when you were talking about the top quarterbacks, and you did mention there being like a top four, a top six, is J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. And throughout this entire process, we've had talent evaluators, former coaches, former front office types come on the show and say that people don't have J.J. McCarthy ranked as high as the top three guys, don't have him ranked as high as Drake May. But from what's been peddled out there, again, insiders, and I'm not insinuating anybody's making anything up, but people keep saying that J.J. McCarthy is thought of like just as highly as these guys, and that J.J. McCarthy might go ahead of Drake May coming up tonight. Do you buy what people are selling on Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy ahead of the first round of tonight's draft?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I like J.J. McCarthy. I really do, but I don't think he is in the same passing class as the top three, as Caleb, Drake, and Jaden are. But having said that, there are some intangibles to JJ's game that has caught a lot of people's attention. You know, the way he performs, the way he handles himself, the way he carries himself, the way he handles his team, the way he handles them on the field. It's one of those things that to me, I think he is a classic game manager style quarterback who has the ability to make plays when he has to help you win. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's a guy that's going to take a game over from the very beginning and dominate it for four quarters, you know, like a Tom Brady type guy or a Drew Brees type
guy.
Could
you see him go ahead of Drake May tonight, Coach? Could you see that happen?
I can't. I really can't. Just because of you know, the needs that the Bears have, the Commanders have. New England kind of has that need. I know the Giants are looking at quarterbacks. Minnesota's a team you keep hearing that's trying to make a move to get up to get one of these guys. But who knows? Maybe. And again, to me, Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy's that kind of guy. Who knows? If Minnesota, let's say Minnesota goes to three and J.J.'s sitting there and Drake's sitting there, they may take J.J. over Drake. That could potentially happen. So, yeah, maybe there is that possibility, guys. It all depends on what the coordinator, what the head coach, what the general manager see as what's their biggest need.
Coach, let's close with this. We have about a minute to go, and we sincerely appreciate the time. Do you think we will see Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix both go in the first round tonight? So Penix and Nix, will they be drafted tonight or tomorrow night here in about 60 seconds?
Well, you know, that means that there's six quality quarterbacks, but I don't see teams. I don't think there's six teams with the kind of need, you know, that would say, hey, you know what, we can take Bo or we can take Penix in the first round. I mean, they'll go if they don't go in the first round, they'll go early second. And what may happen is somebody that feels that, you know, that kind of guy is a fit for them may make a move to go up and get them. I mean, you know, it's like if let's say the Giants don't take a quarterback at number six, okay? And then they come around and get back into the second round, and one of those two guys are sitting there, they're probably going to take one of those two guys.
I think this is really fascinating. And, Coach, I'm sure you don't think about things, like, in this way, but the way that you're breaking this stuff down is actually, like, so perfect for what we do. Like, if this happens, then this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not trying to do great sports betting content, but you actually just did great sports betting content. And we really love having you on the show, and we sincerely appreciate you making the time for us. Thank you very much. We want everyone to follow him on Twitter at Riverboat Ron HC. Coach, stay well. Enjoy the draft over the next 3 days, and we hope to talk to you down the road.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Anytime, all right? If I can make time for you, I will, all right?
I love it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, please. Right. Yeah, right. What'd you make of the first overall pick? What'd you make of the second overall pick?
So, couple things there from Coach, who is obviously like just got out of the league and is always going to be like protective of stuff that he knows, and he should be. I would do the same thing if I were him. To me, it sounded to me like he knows Jaden Daniels is going second. Like, that did not sound like he thinks it's going to happen. That sounds like he knows it. It sounds to me like the NFL does not think J.J. the McCarthy stuff sounds like a smokescreen based off what he said, and I don't think we see six quarterbacks go tonight. Those are the takeaways, I feel like, from that interview with Coach. Not that he has to be right, but it sounds like that's what he's trying to tell us. Hour one done, hour two for you coming up on the other side. We'll get back to the NFL draft, but we'll start with NBA bets for the postseason from Mike Gallagher from ETR.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.